We've seen the exits of the two biggest superstars in world football this morning, haven't they? Argentina out after losing 4-3 to France, and Portugal out after losing 2-1 to Uruguay. To take us through all that that means and what's going to happen in the days to come, Phil Moss is our football expert. He joins us, sorry to say, on the line, not in the studio. We'll get to that shortly.
He's been watching the games. He's probably a tired man.
Is that right, Phil Moss?
That is spot on, and you're on target there, Jimmy, to introduce me without any banter, and then just slip that little one-liner in that just tips it over the edge. Well done.
I couldn't help myself. The funny thing about it is, if you're a promoter of a tournament and you lost the two biggest stars, you'd be worried, but this is the World Cup, and Messi and Ronaldo gone isn't such a big deal.
Well, that's right, and the rider to that is that two superstars departed and one arrived and announced himself in Kylian Mbappe. He was absolutely phenomenal for France and created the penalty and scored two himself, thank you very much, at the age of 19.
Wow.
And then got a few minutes on the bench at the end of the game as reward. Mm. So, look, he was absolutely outstanding. But it's interesting to see Messi and Ronaldo both exit the World Cup on the same night with so much debate raging over who was going to really stamp themselves as the world's best at this tournament. And it has to be said that Ronaldo took his chance in a much more emphatic fashion than what Messi did. Mm. He was really a shadow of the player that we've seen at club level for so long. And that could come down to the fact that, all eyes are on him and there's so much weight on his shoulders when he plays for his national team. But there was a lot of criticism of him going into this tournament that he just never aims up for Argentina like he does for Barcelona. And have to say, the evidence was pretty compelling.
How does that then impact their legacy, if I can use that expression, down the track? They're the two greatest footballers of our era, or this era, Ronaldo and Messi, but neither look like they're going to win a World Cup.
No, that's right. And look, if you go back through the ages, you know, George Best springs to mind. That's going back a fair way, but he never played at a World Cup. And, yet he was known as one of the best of his era. But, it's sad in a lot of ways. But at the end of the day, we can't control where we were born and what nationality we are. And you're either born in a country that wins World Cups regularly and has superstars around you all the time, or you're not. And that's nothing against the Argentinas and the Portugals, because we both know particularly Argentina have done it. But at the end of the day, this generation just wasn't good enough to do it while those two players were in the team. So it will have an impact on their legacy, but we both know over the last decade, those two have just taken football, world football, to another level.
Mm, yeah, Brisbane Lions, one of their favourite sons, George Best. Four games, no goals, back in 1983. Give us a wash-up of the Socceroos. Were we attacking enough? What are we living on our knees and not die on our feet?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one, Jimmy. There's always hot debate after the Socceroos play, particularly in a tournament. More so than the qualifying pathway around the style. And I've always said, and I'll maintain it, till I'm long gone, that the best style is a winning style. And, at the end of the day, at that level, it's about results. And again, we limp out of a World Cup without a victory. And, it's almost like we've forgotten how to win on the big stage. And I know we won the Asian Cup on home soil, but if you take the last two World Cups, and that's where you're truly tested. And we've got to a stage now where we're, regularly qualifying for World Cups, the last four in a row. When are we going to get to the stage where we're regularly getting out of the group? And that's not taking qualification for granted, but that box has been ticked many times over the last 16 years. When are we going to get out of the group? And a lot of the experts have come out this week, questioned our style, said that we don't stand for anything. At the end of the day, we created enough chances in all three games to get something out of them. We should have won the Denmark game, I've got no doubt. If Timmy Cahill came off the bench with 20 minutes to go, we would have got a result there. We had enough chances to get a point out of the France game. And then Peru, if you look at the first half, I know we were well beaten in the end, but in the first half when the scores were locked at 0-0, we had a couple of really gilt-edged chances. Mm. Tommy Rogic, Matt Leckie spring to mind straight away. But we just haven't got the quality in front of goal at the moment, and that's Graham Arnold's number one priority, is to fix that goal-scoring conundrum.
Yeah, no, it certainly hurt the Socceroos. Going back to the France-Australia game, Australia did play very well and very competitive there. Now, France, they could go all the way here now.
They could, Ray. The rider on that is defensively. You know, they've conceded four goals against, and three of them were last night against Argentina. The opposition doesn't get any easier as you go from this point on. So, you know, they'll certainly have to tighten up defensively. But, some of the football they played last night, that second goal to Mbappe that started with Lloris in goal. What a team goal that was. That was just football at its absolute purest. So they've certainly got the armoury to go all the way. Our good friend at Big Sports Weekend Breakfast, Robbie Slater, tipped France before the tournament, so he'll be getting up this morning very excited that he's on track. They certainly look like a team that's building in the right direction as the tournament goes.
Who's your tip, given what you've seen?
Who was my tip or who is
tip? No, you're still with Belgium still?
Well, Belgium was my roughie. Germany were my favourites and they've gone home long ago. So, but I'll stick with my roughie as Belgium, definitely.
Okay.
I have to say I am liking France the more I see them. And I think some of the things that where they can see the goals, they can fix pretty easily. But certainly France for me look like... I tipped the France-Germany final. So I'm going to stick with France to make the final, and I'll probably have to swing to tip them for the title as well.
Brazil and France, $5 equal favourites at tab.com.au. Spain, $5.50. Belgium, $7.50. England!
That's your team, James.
$9. I'm going for England. What about games tonight, mate? Spain v Russia, Croatia v Denmark.
Yeah, jumping on Spain and Croatia. I think Croatia have been very impressive. They had a great Euros the last time around, and they've carried that form into this World Cup. I think they'll get over the top of Denmark. We should have beaten Denmark, and that's no disrespect, but if we can cause them the problems we did, then I think Croatia can get home. The likes of Rakitic, Modric, pulling the strings in midfield, as he always does. And really, Denmark have got Christian Eriksen that Croatia have to nullify a little bit better than we did in the seventh minute, but I'm sure they'll do that.
And just finally, Phil, Graham Arnold's era now as Socceroos coach begins. You've identified, obviously, the area up front he has to address, and that's to score goals to win games. But in this World Cup, who's impressed you, and who can Graham Arnold build the future Socceroos around?
Yeah, look, there's been a lot to like. Particularly individually, and you know, it's yet to be seen what will happen with the older three boys in Timmy Cahill, Jedinak, and Mark Milligan. But I think he certainly Arnie would have looked at the likes of Lecky, Arzani, of course, coming through.
Yeah.
And the like. And look, I think Van Marwijk has brought the Socceroos structure closer to what Arnie will want than where it was when Ange left. And that's no disrespect to Ange, of course, but Arnie, I would be very, very surprised if he was looking at playing a back three. And we've seen what he's done with the Mariners and Sydney FC in the A-League and how much success he's had. So I think Van Marwijk has probably left a blueprint that will be closer to Arnie's heart. And there's certainly a lot to work with there. But the number one, obviously, he's fixing the striking problem. I know he likes pace up front, so it'll be interesting to see how he tinkers with that. But the creativity of Arzani, Aaron Moy, Tommy Rogic, he will get the absolute best out of that, and he'll be rock solid behind them with the holding midfield area. So, look, it's exciting times ahead, and he'll no doubt unearth some others as well. There's a couple of good young guns in the A-League and a couple around the world that he'll no doubt search under every rock and crevice to uncover.
Of all the players in the 23-man squad for the Socceroos, I would like to be of assured as my position as Trent Sainsbury. Not only is he a world-class defender, he's also Graham Arnold's son-in-law. So.
Do I have to end this interview with no comment?
No, fair dinkum.
Like, I reckon it'd be a wise move.
If I'm Trent Sainsbury in this tournament and I'm going, oh, anyway, Dad's coming in. Dad's coming. My dad's coming in next week. He'll be taking over. Wouldn't be surprised if I had the captain's armband on just quietly.
Well, it was a very funny story up at the Mariners when Trent first started seeing Arnie's daughter, Alyssa. And it was kept, let's just say it was kept secret for a couple of weeks. And one day on the training pitch, Trent played the wrong pass, and Arnie stopped the session and said, "Now listen here, son." And everyone hit the deck laughing. Little did he know that would be so true 2 years down the track.
Very good. Very good. Good on you, Mossy. We'll speak again next week, mate.
Good on you, guys. Have a good day.